All right, this meeting is being recorded. So, team, how wonderful. And when we were scheduled to begin, just because that counts, 16 Pisces rising, which is rich and poor alike pour out onto rain-drenched streets in a joyous rebirth celebration. There's our part of our dream news. And more thunderstorms here, more thunderstorms here. Everything, wherever we are, is speaking to us so much. And I was up late last night watching the indictments roll in, I have a wonderful Rico doll that I will show everyone, but it was reminding me of how wonderful what we do here be. One, keeping our team safe, increasingly important. We'll bring that up, and Fannie Willis and many other teams. But the news really is mythic. We'll go into the Montgomery boat thing, which is, it's all humming. And then late last night, just saying things to myself that I've said for a long time, but astrology, really exquisite strategic guiding language for now, you know, not what's going to happen, but what's available with which to participate. So today, right now, the moon is at 19 Leo. Last night when the indictments, Fannie Willis, what a chart, everybody, mythic news. Venus was at 19 Leo, whose image is Zuni Indians participate in a magnificent ritual to the sun. So we'll be humming with that, and we'll start off with Robbie Robertson and Ghost Dance. Here we go.
My love, crazy horse was a mystic, knew the secret of the trance. Sitting for the great apostle of the ghost stand.
So that's Robbie Robertson. I'll come back, I guess, into speaker form for the moment. But that album, in case any of you don't know it or know it, the album he made for the Native Americans series, every song is so powerful and beautiful. And now he's journeyed on, great sun in Cancer, same degree as this country's sun when he was born. So yeah, it's I find it very moving. We have more Robbie Robertson a little bit later, but that's powerful. And in honor of what Elizabeth always reminds us, again, to spiral out of polarity, you don't stand a chance against my prayers. You don't stand a chance against my love. And then the calling of the ancestors, you know, crazy horse, and everything reminds us of everything. So, you know, great, great ally. Ancestor now, Bob Goff, was the lawyer for the Lakota Sioux, and after years in legal fight, he finally won the Lakota Sioux's lawsuit against Crazy Horse Malt Liquor, so they couldn't call it that. But also, long ago movie, Thunderheart, powerful ending where the ancestors return, right? And it's a strong thing, this death and rebirth time, and we want to honor so much richness going on. So yes, here we are. So it is the dark, 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 dark of the moon. It's the dark of the moon. The new moon will be tomorrow at 5:38 a.m. East Coast time, 2:38 a.m. West Coast time. Dark, dark, dark of moon right now when people gather to, we say, the protoplasm of reality, especially receptive to imaginative imprint. We go, okay, so. And Venus in the underworld kicking butt, right? So we can go many places and do feel free to chime in. Yes, dark of the moon greetings. Thank you, Sandra. Yeah, so it is part of where I began going, you know, I think it feels like we're just kind of getting going, and all of you were invited to continue. I thought we would reconvene when Venus returns from the underworld, you know, end of August, August 23rd, and go a little bit longer through the equinox and through the eclipse. Yes, is that something you wanted to say, oh, backstage badger? No, just making a sound. So the new moon, so here we are, dark of the moon, and then we will be launching and telepathically kinned, of course, on this powerful new moon. And let me just, the new moon will be at 23 plus Leo, sun and moon at 23 plus Leo, whose the degree is yogi, heroic, self-overcoming, resonating to inner rhythms of the heart, you know, and it will be exactly squaring Uranus in Taurus, 23 Taurus. I'll just show us for fun the chart of now, and then as it moves into the new moon tomorrow. So new moon, fresh cycle. So many, many things we have been, since we've been together, Neptune has remained at the same degree, stationing. Neptune dreams, vision, imagination, participatory, you know, contributing desirable images. And Neptune forms a yod, this powerful conversation, Neptune over here to all these people in Leo, right? So here's Venus retrograde. She's in the underworld. August 13th, just about a minute ago, was the exact conjunction of Venus in the underworld in front of the sun. So it would be Earth, Venus, sun, the heart of the underworld. And it's like, ooh. And so much of the themes, and I did see the Barbie movie again, and it was even better. I'll try not to impose on you, but it's like it's so mythically connected. You know, and I saw it when, you know, when Venus was in the underworld conjunct the sun, and it's like, oh, it's so resonant. But part of the theme for us all is the Venus part of all of us, whether it's Quetzalcoatl, wise leadership, or Inanna, descends into the underworld. And the primary thing really is that he or she and all of us are gleaning, you know, the gifts we want to bring back into the world, right? And, you know, participating in dreaming the world into being. So Neptune's got a 150-degree angle to the soon new moon. It's that great Pisces-Leo conversation, which is, it's not performance, it's deep, dedicated, participatory dreaming. So that's a 150-degree angle there, and then a 150-degree angle to Pluto. You know, approaching again exact America's Pluto return, boy, many things to notice and participate in, some rousing, unexpected things everywhere, and then 60-degree angles. So a yod is 150, 60-degree angle. And it's like, if we don't work it, it just feels kind of quirky, like Wodja. But if we work it, it's like, I think of it as like a sword and a stone, like we're in the underworld together, team. You know, again, in the underworld fairy world, where we get to have an understanding of our task and our primary dedication, you know, and where the fairy world and the underworld bestow upon us, you know, the gifts that we need to bring back, And so I thought, you know, when we, you know, for those who are game to reconvene, you know, and telepathically, if you sign up, that's great, and if you don't, that's wonderful too. But the emergence right now, we're in the deep underworld descent, but a new moon cycle, it's very fertile. So what do we want to bring back? And with a full awareness of the danger and the death and rebirth, and the powerful ghost dance song, you know, against all odds, life will bloom again in Maui. I have a wonderful friend, Pela Colorado, radio guest and great ally, who managed to rescue her daughter and her granddaughter, but her cats died, and her house that was hand carved by her great Hawaiian artist, now ancestor husband, all gone, right? And it's like, whew. And as we know, you know, well, we'll track all these things. You know, we know the everybody's getting educated, you know, this sacred place. Well, we can leave this, and we'll go to awareness of the danger in a moment. So Hawaii, right, a heart place. Aloha means full of heart, which is why the pejorative haole, you know, full of breath. It means full of breath. The pejorative haole, white people, means no breath. So it's like, we're breathing. Okay, we're breathing. But Maui was among the wettest places on the earth. And Lahaina was a place where the royalty lived in an island in the pond. And Hawaii was full of ancient traditional fish ponds and aquaculture and all of that. And then as colonialism comes in and the sugar crop, never a good thing, you know, always with slavery, sugar crop comes in, pineapple crop comes in, you know, forests come down, literally like Joni Mitchell's song, they paved over the pond, right, where the island was and the ruling class were, and made it a parking lot. They really did, right? And then when those companies, sugar and pineapple, went bust, having brought in, you know, invasive plant, dry plant species. They just left it there, and the water had nowhere to go, except it was channeled away in concrete things. So it's all one big story, right? And our awareness of the danger, and many great commentators, I used this audio in last week's radio, but here's part of our dream team. It's Trey Crowder with his succinct analysis. Here we go.
Well, Ohio Republicans found out that the people of their state were likely to pass an amendment which would protect abortion rights in Ohio. And when they heard that, Ohio Republicans said, well, the people of Ohio must be stopped. So they tried to pass another law before that, which would require 60% of the vote instead of the usual simple majority, right? So basically they went to the people of Ohio and said, hey, y'all, we want y'all to vote on whether or not your vote should count for shit. And the people of Ohio went, I think I'm a vote for my vote should count for shit. And Ohio Republicans just started stomping their feet and making the shocked Pikachu face. Like, I don't know what they expected. What did they think? People were going to line up around the block to disenfranchise themselves? What did they think was going to happen? You know, but this is their playbook now, y'all. This is what they do because they finally come to understand that they are not actually popular. Right? It took them a long time. For years and years, they were alienating and demonizing, you know, women, black people, gay people, Mexicans, minorities, immigrants, smart people, poor people, everybody in between. They spent years doing that, and now they're like, why don't anybody like us? Oh, I don't know. Truly a mystery for the ages, that one. Right? But either way, they understand it now. They realize that, generally speaking, the American people do not agree with them on things like, you know, abortion, gay rights, civil rights, the economy, health care. None of it, right? They've come to realize that, and they've arrived at this conclusion. If the hearts of the people cannot be won, then the will of the people must be quashed. That's right. They understand that in a functioning democracy, their policies would be relegated to the impotent fringe and have decided that, therefore, from this point forward, this democracy should no longer properly function. That's what all this is about, y'all. The gerrymandering laws and voter restriction laws and January 6th and the big line. All of it is about this, the future of the concept of democracy. And guys, it is this close. Right, but if you ask one of the members of their boogity-boogity base about it, they'll say, oh, no, we're not anti-democracy. We're just trying to prevent tyranny of the majority, see? Because, see, just because the majority of people have an opinion about something, that don't mean the rest of us should be subjected to it. Okay, so instead, you think those of us in the majority should be subjected to what you think about it. Yeah, exactly. That's what's up. Okay, and that don't seem undemocratic to you? No, because, see, we got rights, too. Okay, nobody's trying to take your rights, though. In fact, all we're trying to do is keep you from taking other people's rights, because that seems like tyranny. Yeah, no, see, that's good. See, our tyranny is good tyranny. You can ask Jesus. He'll tell you. But see, you try to take our tyranny, that's bad tyranny. What? What is wrong with your brain? Right, and I don't know what to do with these people, y'all. They're too far gone. I don't know what to say to them. Just forget about them. I think it's important for us to remember that at the end of the day, most of us are on the same page about most of this stuff. And I think if we keep our eyes peeled and stay vigilant like the good people of Ohio did, then we can get through this mess and protect our democracy together. What's up, YouTube? I'll be back with more in just a second. But first, I want to let...
Nope. There we go. All right. We're back. We're back. Thank you, Trey. Succinct analysis. Right. That's really it. We look at danger. If the hearts of the people cannot be won, then the will of the people must be squashed. Right. And as he says, the future of democracy, you know, is on the thing. And it's this close, team. It's this close. So it is. It is. So here we are. You know, I like somebody was asked what his definition of maturity was, and he said to have access to all of one's resources. Trey Crowder, I'll see if I, yeah, somebody will type it, Sandra. There you go. There, Richard. Thank you. Trey Crowder on YouTube. Yeah, no, he's a big prolific deal. And again, like Barbie, okay, you know, it's to use something imprisoning in a liberating way is a great trick. So he's got his Southern good old boy, right? Which normally we've been conditioned to go, oh no, but it's a liberating thing. It's boogity boogity bass. Yeah, well, that's good too, exactly. So yes, there's all those things. So, you know, and feel free, there's a lot with which to participate, and do feel free, everyone, to... I think you can unmute yourselves, possibly. Is that a possibility, Backstage Badger? So to remove an impediment so people can do that. Yeah, Bo of the Fifth Column, he's part of our Dream Council. I love Bo. His analysis is always lucid and calm. Yeah, Bo is a great ally. That's good. So yeah, so type in things, and also feel free to raise your hand or to unmute yourself, because it was jolly good fun last week. And that's why I thought, like, we don't have to stop. You know, we're kind of just getting started. And I do feel that liberating cultural hijinks is an important participation as we head in. It's going to be wild. And as again, Trey Crowder said, it's this close, right? Tyranny, beauty versus cruelty. We're betting on beauty, you know, democracy versus tyranny. It's this close, right? So, and fate of the world. That's great. Oh, Doc disguised as Victoria has raised hand. Excellent. That's right. Look, can we unmute the lad? Oh, backstage badger. Oh, calling on team. Ask to unmute.
Everyone asking. Is now set to unmute themselves.
Oh, okay. All right. You can now unmute yourself. Yes, you can. Really? Oh, no.
No, I see him talking.
No. We see you talking.
Well, I guess you have to be asked to unmute. That's
okay.
So, yes, there
okay,
you go.
Now we go.
There we go. Ah, thank you.
I just wanted to tell you everything is happening all at once, but especially here in Walnut Creek, California. We had an earthquake this morning.
Oh,
that's what woke me up. And it was just a really short one, like just a big boom. It was only 3.5, but it was so close. It was in a nearby town called Alamo. Remember the Alamo? Anyways. And then my neighbor who had just moved in, I didn't even get to meet him, died of a heart attack. So that was how my day started. Earthquake, heart attack, and now I have jury duty.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. That's good. No, everything's speaking. Remember, we began with the Titanic and the Titan and Neptune at 27 Pisces, where it still is, and then all the 27 Gemini. You know, if we're safe enough to listen to the earth beings and the fire beings and the everything beings, it's all speaking, and the storm beings. Yes, and Judy Prescott, feel free to unmute yourself. You just go to the lower bottom.
Yes.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you so much, Caroline, for last week. My girl is here. Her noggin is healing.
Yay.
Able to dance today. And thank you. Thank you so much for all that you did, the council.
You were our wonderful, you know, Inanna who went to the underworld. The portals to the underworld are sometimes so literal. And I did mention that when this British woman fell down the stairs when she was 16, her past life memories of Egypt came back, you know, and it's like, so we never know, you know, but we're glad you've returned, even more gifted and beautiful than before you went down. Yay, team, yay, underworld team. So that's really good. So the danger, right? Well, the earthquake and what you said, Doc, reminds me, you know, these portals, you know, I once lived 26 miles north of Santa Barbara on the ocean in a trailer, a quirky little place, a Royal Caymada. And when I moved in, the neighbor next door died. And then the woman for whom my husband worked was murdered by her husband, possibly. And then other people. And it was right outside Point Concepcion, which is the furthest west point of California that the Chumash think is the entrance and exit portal for all life. And the whole time I was there, I never stopped saying the Tibetan Book of the Dead. It's like, you know, next. Yeah, it's like, ooh, the portals, very much. And because also, well, we'll play with this. So it is dark at the moon, earthquakes, thunder, tornadoes over the Capitol in D.C., you know, the raging crazy fire in Maui, not crazy, logical, and horrific. And just thinking of all of our allies, you know, I'm going to the beach with the dogs tomorrow, just for 5 nights. But in thinking like, oh, and remember to take the, you know, the ocean themed dog toys, you know, I just, anyway, all the little things, right? And then thinking of all these people who have just lost everything or who have a minute to gather stuff, you know, whereas we go, oh, that's, remember to take the stuff to octopus for the, anyway. So yeah, and our expansion and kinship. And I have lots of props because everything around us wants to come alive. And I do have, we don't need props or jewelry. In fact, going to the underworld, you know, I wasn't wearing any jewelry at all for a while. And then I thought, it's our night of convening. But this is an amazing person. When I was in Cuba, so all parts of our lives are reporting in, right? This is Yamaya. And it's just, again, all these different, the reason I don't love the word archetype, even though it's an ancient word, but it was really used by Jung to smuggle liberating things into academia. Nothing to worry about here. It's just an archetype as opposed to a living orisha. And so I've loved Santeria and Vudun. And in that tradition, one is thought of as having a mother. One is a daughter or a son of a particular deity. And I thought, you know, maybe Oshun is kind of Venus, but I thought, no, really the ocean, Yamaya. And I had great good fortune to be connected in Cuba to this woman, Natalia Bolivar, who had been very important in the revolution and then fell out of favor with Castro because of her love of Palo Mayombe, which is a kind of dark part of Vudun. But met her and she said, would you like to meet my padrino? And I'm like, oh, I would very much. Because I knew different Cuban santeros in D.C., but nobody quite trustworthy. And so my sister, who's quite a lot more conventional than me, but we do go over there and they throw the cowrie shells. And it's very moving. The Enrique Cookie Sosa, the Santero and Santera, they said, Oba is here and she salutes you because her work is late at night with the stars. And she knows that you always try and tell the truth. And I was like, now they didn't know anything, right? And I was like so moved, right? And then they said, have you had a reading like this before? And I go, oh, you know, psychic readings maybe. And they're like, no. Well, then where are your necklaces? Actually, they're upstairs. I should go get them. And they said, Yamaya is here and she claims you as her daughter. And I was like, I knew it. You know, and she loves you so much that you shouldn't go sit by the sea or swim out too far if you're unhappy because she loves you so much. I'm like, okay. And give her a piece of fruit when you first approach. So I'm dusting her off. And then there was a big kind of contentious thing between all the Santeros because Natalia said, I'm going to give Caroline this doll. And they were like, oh, and it's like, she's very powerful and I must tend to her. She's been dusty. We want to tend to our beings, but she's got a mind of her own. So we go, thank you very much. And she goes, very well. We love all our beings. And I go, Yamaya of some great ocean potency. And Oya, of course, I've got all these props, who is clearly my auntie. Oya, she hurls her horsetail whip and summons the winds of change, right? So we don't need props, but they're fun. And since they're here, why not? So we have Yamaya, the ocean, and how to participate, you know, to land, what do you want to say? You know, we are listening. That's how we started off, the humans not listening, and humans as a species being the primary disruptor of equilibrium. Just very bad manners, right, that we are here to address. And that's why you know, when I was up last night tracking the indictments, you know, and Fani Willis, such a powerful, powerful person. And I want to bring her into play because truly everything is multi-layered, and the dream news and the mythological news. And let me see if I can, do this here. Yes. Happy healing. That's right. She's a book. Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. What a story and a beautiful doll representation. No, no. Well, she's really trippy. There's something that the essence of what the Tibetans taught me is that most of sacred art is invisible. And it's things, you know, we carry with us. So I carry this with me. I was picking up keys to a Tibetan retreat cabin at their little shrine place. And there was a shrine room with a Buddha there. And it was one of those things where you cross the threshold into the shrine room and there was this irrefutable wong, wong, wong. And then I stepped out, nothing. Stepped in, wong, wong, wong. And the Tibetan nun who saw me said, "Yes, Lama so-and-so really knew what he was doing when he made that Buddha." And she explained to me that sacred art is mostly invisible, that he would make a plaster Paris shape of the Buddha, and then he would chant to it, sing to it, draw designs on it, inlay it with semi-precious stones, cover it up, and then sing to it, chant to it, draw designs on it, put Saturn intention into it, right? And then cover it up. And so on. So at the end, what we're seeing is maybe 10, 20%. And what we're feeling is wong, wong, wong. And the Yamaya doll is like that. She's, you know, I've taken her, well, and wild elements, you know, I took her from Cuba. I went with my sister to Montana. And my sister, who's fairly conventional, was like, "Look at her eyes. The storm brought her alive," right? And we were in this tent and she was like, "Oh." Anyway, so for all of us, you know, again, where we started off, what is our primary dedication? And whatever we do, and this is part of the yod and the availability of this new moon to go to the underworld and bring back all our skills with dedication, you know, and renewed dedication for the next chapter of our lives, whatever they be. But it's pretty exciting now, so all hands on deck, you know, and then just to add the dedication to whatever we do, and that there's always, you know, it's a great, you know, so it's the Leo, but in the underworld, right? Venus, Leo, underworld, to illuminate what we mostly don't see. Ah, yes, duck. Unmute yourself and come forward. Ah. Oh, no, you have to unmute yourself. Oh, there you go.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I forget the name of the band that you played us, where they look like a bunch of people from What We Do in the Shadows. But their musicianship was fantastic. And it inspired me because I bought this concertina at a thrift store. There's a new thrift store in our neighborhood. And I got a brand new 20 button angle concertina. I don't know how to play it. I'm looking for a teacher. But when you showed us that video last week, I learned that riff that he was playing. But it inspired me.
Yes.
To take it every Monday here where I live in Rossmore. We have Rumi in the Redwoods on Monday.
I saw that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh,
well, I got an announcement about it. Maybe from you.
Yeah, that's right. And if you're ever in Walnut Creek on a Monday, I'd love to host you here. Oh. But I brought this to the Rumi readings. We just sit in a pleasant area in the middle of these beautiful redwoods, and we forest bathe. Of course, you know, we take our shoes off. And everybody takes turn reading their favorite Rumi poem or reciting it from heart. And I found out that I can accompany Rumi poetry with this. And I don't think I would have done that if you wouldn't have showed me that band.
Oh, Daka Braka. That's right. No, you can audition.
Thank you. Daka Braka.
Daka Braka. No, they were really wild. Well, and again, the visible and the invisible.
Hmm. Yeah. And so I brought this and it changed. We never had music at Rumi in the Redwoods before, but now I think it's going to be a regular part of the Rumi celebration.
No, it's crucial, you know. And you know, I worked with Robert Bly at his Great Mother Conference for a dozen years or so, and the Rumi night. Well, it was suffused with Rumi, but always with music, sitar, but a droney thing like what you've got, because it's, again, it helps with the transport.
Yeah,
and it allows the human readers to pause.
Maybe that's where our paths crossed. Maybe that's where we cahooted before. I was trying to think.
Were you at Robert Bly's Great Mother Conference?
Well, I used to go to that Caravan of Dreams every year.
I don't know. No, it's a parallel universes.
Anyway,
that's right. No, we have a lot of...
We're cahooting now, and that's great.
We're cahooting now, that's right. And it's and more memory of the future. That's really great. So, yes, what a story and a beautiful doll representation. I have chills, says Elizabeth. And then Sandra, I was initiated in Cuba, daughter of Oshun. Yes, love your doll. Can we see her more up close? Yes, yes, she's got a mind of her own, but let me ask her. Is it okay? And dolls, very important. You know, in fairy tales, the doll often has the mother's love or guidance. And it's like, and there was such a hubbub about Natalia Bolívar wanting to give me this doll. I just remember that. It's like, they were like, oh, I mean, in Spanish, I couldn't understand it all. I should have had you with me, Sandra. But yeah, you Oshun, right? See, I love Oshun, but I knew it wasn't me. I knew it was Yamaya and Oya. Oya's my primary aunt, right? But yes, I think you can see her. Yes, there she is with her spooky, wonderful eyes looking at you. And it changes. So, and I must clean her dress, and this is somebody's hair, right? I think that was part of the hubbub. This is someone's hair. So there's that. But speaking of spooky, so the ritual nature of the indictments, you know, and you know, what in us is the former guy? What in us is, you know, how did we, as Reverend Ike said, if we can dream it up, we can dream it down. You know, Neptune says, solve e coagula, dissolve and reimagine. You know, because it's going to take that level of auxiliary participation right now, because he's just, and I can remember, you know, as a child being obnoxious and, you know, having a fit in a store because my, somebody, nanny wouldn't buy me something, something like that. Just, you know, there's a horrible, great, I think it's a Danish birth control ad, and it's a dad in the store with an unruly child is like, no, I want sweeties, I want sweeties, and the father's like, whatever, and then it says, next time use a condom, right? And it's like, it's very effective, right? And I can remember being obnoxious, you know, and I had the great good fortune to be raised in a wolf pack of, you know, four older siblings who were very sharp and would put their little teeth around your neck if you were obnoxious or stupid or whatever. And I like that. I've come to realize that not everybody likes that level of play. I really like that level of play going, and I was lucky because when I was obnoxious, I was informed and held accountable. In a spicy, sharp, verbal way. And we want to invite a little more of that into play. Many people have been saying that, you know, Fani Willis, I will bring up her chart. You know, well, it's all these Black folk and Black women, right, who are incredibly powerful and together and who are agents, our agents of Saturnine accountability, you know, huge contributors to whether democracy will continue or not. When we began tonight, 22 plus Sagittarius was overhead where I am outside DC, but the image is the crown and torch of the Statue of Liberty, the necessity to defend democracy from tyranny. And we go, thank you. Yes, we've got that. And how do we cultivate in ourselves, which is why, again, in keeping with our ally Elizabeth's guidance, to not, you know, be polar. It's such a great challenge. But in the ghost dance, you don't stand a chance against my prayers. You don't stand a chance against my love. And but said very strongly from Robbie, and we go, right. Yes, a funny Willis doll. Well, there is a funny Willis doll in the Barbie movie. I'm telling you, I'm not just over whatever it is. And raised in the wolf pack, you too, right? And we both just turned 70. You might be a water dragon or possibly a snake. We don't know yet, but that's great. And then two of us were initiated by reliable people in Cuba. I think it's the place to go, right? And what a great and powerful place that is, Cuba. Yeah, daughter of Oshun. Yes, maybe we have the same padrino. Enrique Sosa and his wife Cookie. I feel a little bad. I haven't stayed in touch, but it was a great thing, and I've treasured it in my heart. So yes, and then let's go. Okay, so the rituals. The Zuni Indians performs a majestic ritual to the sun. Is the Venus at the same time that Biden prohibited uranium mining in the Grand Canyon, and actual Zuni Indian activists said, thank you, this is sacred land. We will have no uranium mining here. Thank you for doing this modicum of sanity, right? So it's Zuni Indian, actual Zuni Indian, perform a majestic ritual to the sun, meaning not Leo Huha, powerful history of ritual, the death and resurrection show, meaningful to, you know, participate in restoring equilibrium. So here we go. And it's perfect that the new moon and the sun and moon and Venus right now square Uranus in Taurus. Again, the necessary reunion of theater for the earth, for participatory animism, you know, for all the critters. For all the dogs and the cats and the creatures and the trees and the banyan tree and the people of everywhere, Lahaina as just a particularly like whoo, and it was so fast, right? It was so fast. That's why nobody could take anything. So it is all speaking, and you know, and the thunder gods are here as well. So let me, yes, and Dark of the Moon is what. No, it's so it wasn't. I didn't play you What We Do in the Shadows. I did play you Daka Braka last week, which is just, and you got it. The trancy hum, and then the animals coming in, and the portals. That the purpose of art is not even to be seen, but to open portals whereby we can invite whatever we need as a useful experiment. The dream portals, come on in. So What We Do in the Shadows, Dark of the Moon. And that's why, you know, last night going, Rico, Racketeer Influenced Corrupt Organizations Act. It was born October 15th, 1970. Right. So I, you know, we look things up and it's like, oh, it's a Libra sun, same degree as me. I knew I loved Rico, you know, and Venus and Neptune in Scorpio, which is deep delving investigation, you know, all coming alive by transit. Right. And we go, right. I'll just tell you at this point, I can show you if you prefer to see. But so when Rico was born, the Racketeering Influenced Corrupt Organizations Act, we love it. October 15th, 1970, the sun was at 21 Libra. My sun's at 21 Libra. Venus, so incarnation of Venus, where's Venus? In Scorpio. So in Fani Willis's chart too, Venus in Scorpio. The medievals did not like that Venus in Scorpio. I have Venus in Scorpio too. they called it, you know, heretics. And in Fani Willis's case, a particular degree they called the accursed degree of the accursed sign, said the men in the Middle Ages. So there's a lot of resonance kind of going on. You know, but we like it because it's about its images. A woman draws back two dark curtains leading to a sacred pathway. So this disguised as trial indictments, there's powerful mythic mojo underneath the thing. It's Venus and Neptune and Scorpio, Enrico opposite Saturn at 21 degrees of Taurus, whose image is a white dove flying over troubled water. We go, whoo, howdy, Ooh, howdy. And Uranus is transiting that, going, yes, thank you, Rico. We might not have always been your friend, but now we are. And that's why I was like walking around my house going, oh, maybe I'd invite our council to all like draw a little, you know, Rico ally demon thing. And then I go, oh, wait, I have somebody in mind. And they've been in the shadows for far too long. It's the Rico demon. Ah, I think it's really great. It's really great. This is also quite powerful. And look, they make a lovely couple. Right. So the Rico demon, this is a doll I got in New Orleans a long time ago in a very magic way. Right. And this I did put you away because you were a little too powerful. Right. It's true. That when people were disrespectful, bad things happened. It's like, was it you? Yes, it was. Anyway, so I think this is a good Rico demon going, oh, who's a good Rico demon? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You know, who's going to keep Fannie Willis safe? You know, who's going to let the truth come out so that people ally with the Rico demon as an ally for democracy? You are, you handsome beast, you. Okay, that's right. So there we put that over there. But he's so happy to have a job now. Everything wants a story, right? The animals we live with, you know, I tell the dogs and the cats, you are great temple cats, you know, you are great temple dogs. I could do nothing without you. Thank you so much. And they're like, oh, very good. Everybody wants their story. So, right, so we're animating as a fearsome spicy ally, right? An excellent example of Saturn, quintile Jupiter. Saturn, specificity, accountability, quintile Jupiter, big, organized, comprehensive story. And it was last night at 10:55 p.m. There I am with the charts and the demons and the everything. You know, Trump and a bunch of other Trump trash, bless their hearts and wish them cooperative redemption. There we go. Of course, the moon was at 7 Leo, which is a particularly charismatic degree. It's a community activist bringing alive their neighborhood. And we go, right. It was Zuni Indians perform majestic ritual to the sun. There we go. Fulton County, resonant these places, right? And I did want to, I think I can do this. I wanted to bring up the other Statue of Freedom, which is in Georgia. Yes, and I have a rudimentary version of herself. There we go. Okay, there we go. So here's yes, she's in the email, but what can we do? So this is the Statue of Freedom on top of the Georgia State House. And since we've been doing the connection between the Statue of Freedom in Georgia and the Statue of Freedom on the U.S. Capitol, Georgia and democracy have been clearly inextricably intertwined, and how good to mythologically connect their powerful selves. So just a little bit, she was originally called Miss Freedom, named Goddess of Liberty. Statue adorning the dome of the Georgia State Capitol since 1889. The hollow copper statue. Hollow copper statue. There's a lot of interesting invisible stuff going on. Copper is sacred to Venus. A hollow copper statue. Ooh. You know, conducts electricity. Copper sacred to Venus. And all the properties of copper, very interesting, according to Venus and Libra and Taurus and all the Venusian realms. So copper conducts electricity, but it also has a fascinating thing. If you take a copper wire and you bend it, it'll put up with that for a while, but then it snaps. It's like, okay, nuts. But I mean, that's a property of copper. And we go, oh, that's very interesting. And then this is a haunting thought. Okay, a hollow copper statue painted white. Oh, that's too bad. 26 feet tall, sculpted with a torch in her right hand and a sword in her left. We might as well adopt the mudra. The torch is a functioning mercury vapor lamp casting a blue-green light at night. blue, green, color of Scorpio, just for fun. We go, okay, thank you, thank you. And then, you know, I was looking for different, now there she is. And we're connecting her, Georgia, to DC, to democracy, to the earth, right? That's the thing that's coming in that wasn't available to humans in a major way, like what we're up to right now in 1940, the last time that Jupiter and Uranus were together in Taurus, which is participatory animism. And that it's not just humans and nations, it's the earth and the beings and the ancestors and the invisible, you know, and that's we're believing nothing but entertaining possibilities and experimenting. And then I just found all these different other images of her. I'll send them out in the notes too, but it's like, it's the same thing, but it's like, oh, it's very trippy. Okay, good for you. All right, so now I think we want to look up Fanny Willis, Fanny Willis, because it's an extraordinary chart. And I think I'll put her, in the middle of the world. Okay, here we go. Wait a minute. Okay, so coming back here. Okay, so this is the chart of now. And then I'm going to put Fanny Willis inside the chart of now. Oh, but this is fun. It's a live action chart of now. Well, what's, you know, everything's speaking to us all the time, you know, and whatever we love is how everything will speak to us. 10 Aries is rising right now. It'll change every 2.5 minutes, right? But that's ruler of a nation. We go, right, what is our definition of wise leadership? And what can we participate? And remember the crucial myth that we're playing with, Venus, Inanna, Quetzalcoatl, you know, things have become corrupt. Culture has been stolen and replaced by empty celebrity baubles in the Inanna myth. Quetzalcoatl, corruption, leadership has become corrupt. They go away into the underworld, you know, to bring back the authentic. And it's, you know, again, the heliacal rise, when this is the crucial part to understand, and that we can also see in many places in charts, you know, that, so it's wise leadership meant to be born in each person's heart, right? Not one person, not a hero, not a savior, not a thing, not a messiah, not a, because they're all polarizing. They're all polarizing, not even a grand dame, you know, whatever. So let me find Fanny. Okay, here's, now I did slightly, well, I'll bring up I don't have her birth time, right? So it's October 27th, 1971. And it was kind of hidden. Well, it took me a little while, but I hardly ever guess people's sign, but really just looking at Fanny Willis, I was like, Scorpio, gotta be a Scorpio, you know? And that's the easiest sign to guess, because it's the people who are always like, what sign am I? We go, Scorpio. So there she is, Sun in Scorpio. But the nature of the ritual, right? This particular degree, 3+ Scorpio, is carrying a flame in a ritual, nearness to mysterious forces, passing on the light overcomes fear of one's own flame going out. We go, whew, all right, this is her. Mercury at 15 Scorpio, one of the four gates of power, being able to call it in, you know, call it in. We go, okay, Venus at 19 Scorpio, that's it. And you know, my Venus is just one degree away, but I have 19 Scorpio envy, because this is what the medievals called the accursed degree of the accursed sign, because it's a no priesthood degree. It's an accountability degree. It is a voice of the true law within everybody degree. It is, you know, woman draws back to dark curtains leading to a sacred pathway. And then I'm just going to do a little bit. And then we really want to keep her safe. We really want to keep her safe, because the amount of vituperative, but I don't know if how many of you were up on this or read the indictment. I encourage, the indictment is a sacred thing. It's long, you know, but it does honor, I'm going to forget the Ruby's last name, Ruby, and her mother, Shay, these Black women whose lives were destroyed by Giuliani and Trump falsely accused of, you know, tampering with the ballots. And I loved when they came before the January 6th committee, you know, and just, you know, described how their lives had been threatened and endangered and destroyed, and they had to move. And I mean, just horrible. I want them to get every single penny from Giuliani and Trump, just every single penny. Just, you know, and so they're a major part of the indictment. You know, the murderous slander. And I love when Ruby was just narrating in her deep, calm, wise Black woman way, you know, and I think it was Adam Schiff said, and in the video, which was doctored, you know, what is it that you're passing to your mother? And she goes, a breath mint. Right? We call it. So this is a spicy person. And then also do note, I was just noting that 10 Aries rising here, 10 Aries is her Chiron, ruler of a nation. This is somebody really dedicated, you know, and an impressive person. She's brought 11 RICO cases since she assumed office in 2021. And before that, you know, and this is a hardworking person. So her Uranus 15 Libra is a boat dock wrecked by storms, rebuilding the entire world. It's a powerful degree. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has a planet there as well. And I go, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And it's the Scorpio. So this part of our dream, all right, the Fani Willis part of all of us, the Scorpio planet square the moon in Aquarius. Also the north node of the moon, same degree, which means born pretty close to an eclipse. And this is a great degree. This is a woman contemplating an inspiration which could change her life. And we go, oh, okay. We go, so I just wanted to put this on the table, you know, born with the Saturn Pluto square, all about use and abuse of collective power, in one's personal circumstance and then teased out into cultural. We go, okay. So we want to keep her safe. I did, you know, it. I don't have her birth time. I like Capricorn rising. I like it. I might finagle it just to get the Sabian symbol, same as my friend Amakela, which is the midheaven now. Well, that's kind of speaking to us. Six Capricorn, which is heavily veiled, hierophant, seized by the divine, leads a powerful group ritual. I'm like, yeah, I think so. There we go. So, all right, so we're going to go back to, wait a minute. All right, there we go. Okay, I'm going to go back to just us for a moment, just us, to also point out for us now and for the new moon and what we're going into, Mars is at 22 degrees of Virgo, opposite Neptune. When this country was founded, Neptune was at 22 Virgo. When I first heard Barack Obama in Boston in 2000, maybe 2000, and everybody was going like, whoa, who's this guy? His Mars is 22 Virgo. So Barack Obama is having an exact Mars return right now. But when I saw that, you know, again, we're all complex beings and know one thing, and we're all befoibled and have our moments of greatness. So when I saw that his Mars is the U.S. Neptune, I go, oh, well, this guy will be very good at Marsing, animating the desirable vision of the country, which he did. But now it's to all of us. Mars, our instructions, you know, part of a grand trine in Earth to animate the desirable dream story soul of this country in a way that includes the Earth and the stewardship and wisdom of native people, you know, all of that, these necessary miracles that we're rooting for, because without them, Musuda. So I wanted to just bring that part of the, what's up? Oh, the sun is at 22 Leo. That's my Pluto. Its image is a bareback rider, thrills the excited crowds. Woohoo. So it's like, well, there's a lot of action in the underworld right now. And Venus right now is Dionysian houseboat party. So who said the underworld has to be a bad place? You know, I mean, there's many, many things. And that's why I also you know, included, because Rachel Maddow was going to host Hillary Clinton on news. She does the news on Mondays only now. But there was so much news breaking that, you know, but Hillary Clinton, you know, I have had many opinions about Hillary Clinton. It was a long time ago when Bill Clinton was being impeached, and I had a temporary job writing an astrological, mythological, political column for George magazine that JFK Jr. ran for a short time until he died. And that was a powerfully mythic death. But that's when I wrote an essay on Hillary Clinton as Inanna Miguel. Right. Well, it rotates. The myths rotate around, you know. Yes. If there's a Statue of Liberty doll, there should certainly be. Well, there's a Jane Goodall Barbie, and she's apparently okay with it, you know. So these are, you know. Oh, I see. Just your screen on for a minute. Yes, that copper is sacred to Oshun as well. Yes, yes, it's a Venus thing, green color of the heart. Yes, I can do that. I think. Well, maybe you have to change to. To non-gallery. I don't know where Sandra is. But they do. They make a lovely couple. Yamaya and Rico. It's pretty good. Okay. So yes, I can do that. And maybe if you change to your view, maybe it'll be, whoops. She has a mind of her own now. Well, there's no putting it. It's like Twilight Zone, except you know, we're dealing in a world where the spooky thing is the good thing, and then oops, no, we've seen enough of that. Okay. That's good. Yeah, she is exquisite and complex, and I must clean her dress. I think I might take her to the ocean. You know, and it's one of those things about, you know, superstition or participatory mythos, right? And I love that category. You know, the friends of mine in Brazil, where the lady of the house was really uptight, so the people who lived there put scissors under her bed to cut the tension. They go, oh, it's very witty. It's very witty. So we go, superstition or participatory, you know, mythos. We go, yeah, everything can be liberating or imprisoning, and we go right. Fulton County. All right, so there's Georgia. So do any of you have you seen the video of the Montgomery, Alabama boat big thing? All right, I should have gotten you something, but you can find it if you do such things, but I will simply narrate because it's a huge thing in the memesphere. And it started, and there's video of all this, and then incredible creative response. But it starts on the docks of Montgomery, Alabama. And this is where slaves, yes, oh wait, you've seen this, it says Doc. Doc's going to unmute himself or no. Okay, you see that, right? So it starts on the docks of Montgomery, Alabama, and as Bo points out, this is like Auschwitz. This is there's a path and a sacred honoring of this is where so many slaves were sold, so many people were sold into slavery, a huge thing on these docks, right? So now we're in modern time, but all history is present. So a riverboat named the Harriet Tubman is coming in to dock, but a pontoon small boat of white Yahoo people has parked in their spot. And the guy who's described as the security guard, but he's actually the co-captain of the Harriet Tubman, comes over and goes, you can't park here. This is for the riverboat. You've got to move. And the white people jump him and six people start beating him up. And the people on the boat are aghast. This is their co-captain, their beloved teammate. And every part of it is amazing because the co-captain, when he's being jumped on by six people pummeling him, he throws his hat in the air, which is the ancient signal of help me, right? And there's a 16-year-old youth. These are all hugely powerful beings, right? Memes right now. A 16-year-old youth, all of this is on camera, jumps off the boat, swims 100 meters to the dock in order to get up and start helping his co-captain. Right. And then people commenting going, man, you know, he swam 100 meters, you know, and then I wouldn't be able to swim 100 meters and get up and fight. You know, that's just amazing. So there's all these memes like Aquaman and everything. And his parents are saying are keeping him private. And we want to pray for his safety, too, because he's a huge hero and an amazing human and has an incredible Twitter feed. And his parents are like, no, we don't. We want to keep him safe. Right. Safety, Pewter Shield, Fannie Willis, all these people. So then, you know, Black people start coming in, you know, and rescuing this guy. But not only that, the white people are like, okay. And then they're like, no, you come back here. And they got their asses kicked. And it's nobody was seriously hurt, but it was a big brawl. And there's a huge thing of, you know, Black voices respond going, I know we don't want to, you know, support violence, but this was great because it was the rescuing, the hat, the heroic swimming 100 meters by the 16-year-old to kind of join in the thing, and the cops were letting it happen, right? And so people were like, this is Montgomery, Alabama, where slavery happened. We've never seen this. Usually we see, you know, a guy getting beat up and killed, you know, and the cops supporting that. This is the cops supporting the Black people who are defending one of their own who was simply doing their own job. And the boat is named the Harriet Tubman. And it's like, truly, the news is dream news. And it's like, and that's how people responded, right? So yeah, it was a dust up, but there's an amazing collection of, you know, incredible smart response that people did reenactments in swimming pools, right? Going just, you know, just a lot of passion and wit, And it's like, oh, the thing that makes you kind of proud to be human, and we want to keep them safe. We want to keep them safe, right? Because it's like, it's good. And so we come in with the Neptune. That's enough. Cool it out. Remember the Peruvian saying that the job of the women is to tell the men when to stop hunting. That's it. We have enough. We have enough now. Stop drilling, stop hunting. That's it. That's it. And we kind of rise up and we go, yeah. And then there was Hillary Clinton on Rachel Maddow about all of this, right? And being her good self, her Inanna returned from the underworld, her having been humbled self. I've seen her be a bad witch when she was running against Obama. You know, a woman who doesn't know she's a witch is a very dangerous witch, you know. It's like, oh, bad behavior. But also many redemptive things. She wrote a smoking great spy espionage novel with Louise Penny, and it's like, good for you. She was great last night, and here we are heading into 2024. And that's why I sent the link of her article, and we go, yeah, all right, this is the good part of Hillary Clinton. Her article in The Atlantic, Weaponization of Loneliness and the Necessity of Community. And I put in the necessity of community preparing for Pluto and Aquarius, right? 24 years of Pluto and Aquarius beginning on January 20th, a resonant date, 2024. So there's all those things. And then that's right. And then in the news, I'm going, and let's keep it going. Feel free to sign up. There was a little bit of kerfuffle in the way I explained it. Cause I said, let's keep our Dream News Council going. It's a great team. We're just getting started, kind of. But it's complete. You know, if people go, oh, I got other things to do, that's fine. But I like the idea of reconvening as Venus returns, right? And just to, you know, take into our hearts, you know, our willingness to receive, to go into the underworld, or however we got there, you know, tumbling down the steps, or just deep introspection, or moved, or so much taken by the underworld, the Sinead O'Connor and Robbie Robertson, the island of Maui, you know, nature, not sentimental, You know, and then for us to go, well, what gifts, what projects, what things still left undone, known or unknown, are we willing to receive in our own dream news realm? So it's August 29th. I think we would resume. We're on most latitudes. If we got up before dawn, we would see Venus. She's coming back to October 10th. So it's 8 sessions. Yeah, I think that's right. And then just communicate with me backstage. Is 9 p.m., 6 p.m.? Is that a good time? Is that a good time? Is that a good time, Lynn Lewis? Are you here? We changed the time to 9 for you. And then we'll figure out. I had said, you know, $320 going, oh, that seems right. $50 off for members of our dream team who enroll by Friday. Some eager beavers, some wonderful people signed up and paid $320. I meant $320 minus 50, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. There we go. Never mind all that. Okay. So let me pause in case anybody. Good. Oh, good. So if anybody wants to chime in now, there's more in the charts to play with. And we do have good two forms of closing and finale. But if anybody wants to have a query, a comment, a wondering, a part of their own personal life that's a conundrum or a blessing, and then how it's connected to larger mythic themes, but as I was captivated in a good way, you know, last night by the indictments, and I always watch the news with the live chart going on, going, ooh, as above, so below, it's really kind of working. And if we animate that, we participate in it, you know, and just feeling that, you know, this time, especially to tease whatever in collective dream world known as news, you know, to see those mythic themes and how to cooperate with it. And just to remind us, you know, what put on the table, it was this time of year, it was this Venus going to the underworld and returning that got us Trump in the first place, right? This was the time of the Republican convention, and Venus had gone to the underworld, and she was just about the heliacal rise, right as Trump was to be nominated. I was there. And it's like, oh no, they're mistaking the guy for the God. So yeah. I think that just to sort of say again to all of us, you know, the reason it's so useful. Oh yeah. I'll be right with you in a moment, Doc. The reason it's so useful is that these myths and rhythms live in us, whether we know them or not. If we know them, we can participate what wants to happen here. If we don't know them, then we're possessed like the Republican convention. You know, as Kurt Vonnegut said, there's the Karas, which is the team of heart people, and the Falloon, the Grand Falloon, which is the toxic mimic of that. But yeah, whatever you want to say, Doc.
Okay. So, you know, I'm going back to this because just before our council started this evening, my other neighbor came over with a sympathy card and asked me to sign it for the wife of the, you know, this couple. They just moved into our building. They would have been neighbors that we would have, you know, met and known, got to know everything about, but he dies before I even met them. And now she wants me to sign a sympathy card. And I'm going, you know, is this just one of those pro forma things? Is there, you know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm not using the right words, but you know, it's a gesture. Is it an empty gesture? Cause I'm signing a sympathy card. I mean, my instinct would be that, you know, that I would go over there and, you know, play this and recite a Rumi poem about death. But I didn't know them. So what would you do?
Well, I'm not sure, but I turn to the wiser guiding language of Saturn quintile Jupiter, which is every opportunity is an opportunity for dedicated blessing, part of which is invisible. And part of which you're doing now. Mm-hmm. Oh, future neighbor that I did not get to know.
Yeah.
And yet we pass. And you down. Well, and see the all around now is the chart of his departure. And I had a wonderful, my favorite ex-sister-in-law died And I do not presume certainty about the mystery of death, but I do love death charts. The death charts are so heartening. You know, they're so heartening. And right now, you know, for your future friend you didn't make, and for you to craft, you know, your own dedication. You know, it's like John O'Donohue was pretty good. I mean, he was clunky as well as wonderful. But he wrote poems for everything, to the parents of one who has committed a terrible crime, to the neighbor I didn't get to meet, to the you know, it's you know, but and again, always our manners. We're all working on this, that our species have manners again, that our manner of relating be an offering rather than an imposition. It's like the concertina and the poem, maybe a little later, right? As an offering. Oh, wait, you have to unmute yourself. You have to unmute yourself. You have to unmute your microphone so we can hear your words.
What poet? I missed the name of the poet that you recommended.
Oh, John O'Donohue.
John
O'Donohue. Yeah, no, he's right up your alley. John O'Donohue, there's a million things out there. He was a priest who left all that to become a poet to revitalize Ireland's art form of blessing.
Uh-huh.
And you, just to go through that, you know, and to write out maybe one of those. He's got pithy sayings and poems for almost every occasion, right? For the neighbor who died before I got to know him, there's probably something there. You know, I mean, and if there isn't, then that's your job. But you'll see the priming of the pump. And I was at a conference where I was just getting to know Robert Bly, and John O'Donohue were there, and they were locking arms going off to tea. And part of me was like, oh, I'd like to go. I'd like to both. Okay. But it's part of our, you know, like we didn't yet get to writing haiku news headlines, but blessing headlines and the Celtic blessing that he reintroduced and brought alive again. This is very Saturn Jupiter quintile. Blessings are portals through which grace enters the world. It's a Saturn Jupiter thing, you know, the blessing of an indictment, right? Writing odes to everything, you know, and an ode to Fannie Willis, and a protective blessing for Fannie Willis, part of ourselves, you know, and the pewter shield as well. I mean, we can keep things stirring, now we're deconvening tonight, dark, dark, dark of the moon, then off diaspora, you know, to the beach and to the thing and to reconnect and whatever the thing is, and then, you know, to gather our woof and to see what gifts we want to bring back from the underworld with sturdy purpose, and then to reconvene as Venus reemerges from the underworld, and we go, all right, game on, you know. And as Trey Crowder says, you know, it's that close, right? It's that close. Terry Pratchett said, magic is easy. You just find the fulcrum and push. Or I like even more gentle, find the fulcrum and blow, like. So John O'Donohue's model for blessing, and Americans have been woefully bereft of blessing. All cultures, you know, Middle East is big on blessing. Deborah Felmuth and I, you know, coined this phrase of blessing poker. May it go well for you. May it go even more wonderfully well for you. May it, you know, here's a beautiful poem from our culture that is beautiful. Here's an even more beautiful poem from our culture. Blessing poetry, blessing poker, poetry poker. So what John O'Donohue did was the model, it's got a structure. When this, then may this, right? Elizabeth's really good at this. When this, then may this. But remember, here's our Neptune, Pluto, Leo, Yod. Neptune dreams and metaphor. Metaphor is the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. Just, you know, check it out. Take it for a drive. And so it wants to be sensual. You know, and I've said this many times, but I'll keep saying it because it seems to be really important to myself as well. I include, you know, that Americans, including myself, were pretty good at when this terrible thing, not so good at then may this, it got all vague. Let me give you an example, like enlightenment and stuff. It's like, no. When the ghost of loss stands behind you, you might modify this, Doc. When the ghost of loss stands behind you as you gaze out the window, then may the ancestors place a cloak of solace around your shoulders that will mend your life. Right? And when your boat is sinking in rough water, then may the moon spin a silver pathway upon which you may safely tread to shore. Right. So it's got to be a cloak. I mean, we're painting images with words, right? That's the thing. And when things get too abstract, so many spiritual teachers are very abstract and go, what? And I go, where's the mango? Where's the ocean? Where's the flower? Where's the cloak? Where's the sea? You know, and that's very Uranus and Taurus. Again, to be effective, it must be sensual, incarnational delight, not transcendent abstract. Well, that's like, we don't have time for that. It's like Judge D and the Four Heavenly Kings. Sorry, I was late. I didn't know it was so serious. You know, enlightenment can wait. We got stuff to do. So yeah, and it is a grand trine in Earth. And just to, yeah, so those are the two, not exactly John O'Donohue. I've sort of tinkered with them myself, but that I have as kind of templates. When this, then may this. And so you just get to, yeah, no, pro forma. No, there's nothing pro forma. But you go, you know, a powerful dedication, you know, and maybe for you, just, you know, the earthquake and the death, to wonder about the connection to where we began was all about call and response, the Titan, the Titanic. You know, are we listening to the metaphor? Are we listening to the sea? Are we heeding the warnings? You know, and then, yeah, and then everybody's got a different deal. I mean, I began, well, there was always people dying when I lived out next, you know, north of Santa Barbara, next to Point Concepcion, birth portal of the earth. So at the time I was reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead for everybody, but whatever, you know, to read poetry to the dead is a thing. And I love John O'Donohue. You have a wonderful adventure before you, and I'll aspire to find some too, but he's also given great talks. And he said, and see, the Irish, the way they speak, there is no word for yes or no in Irish, right? Are you after going to the market? I am not, you know, so it leads, or I am that, it leads to a story, you know, and John O'Donohue talks a lot about death, and his own death was both sudden and not, and young, but he says, but that's why in Irish, they say, when the ghost of loss is upon you, when grief is upon you, is the phrasing. I think it's kind of wonderful. And then he said, he talks about people knowing about their own death, but he said the Irish tradition, you know, is, you know, that they would take the body of the dead person and take them around to the neighborhood, to the tree, to the market, to the forest, to the river. And he said, you know, we think it's so that the dead person can say goodbye, but it's also so that the river and the tree can say goodbye to the person that they loved. And it's like, oh, right. You know, all the, you know, we come and we tell the tree our story. We come and say, oh, river, I've been to your sister, the ocean. Let me tell you about this and that. And this, the world is woven together by blessing and story. So you have a great mysterious opportunity for your priestly wizard poet self. How wonderful. So that's great. Bereft of blessings. Well, yes, until now, you know, this is part of the deal, the blessings, you know, and the blessing of the indictment and the blessing of the Rico God and the blessing of the Fannie Willis and the blessing of the pewter shield to keep all good-hearted people and even those not, to keep all safe, to you know, we are conjuring an atmosphere of safety, safety. So we have two closings, because one is deep and powerful, Robbie Robertson again, and it does end with crickets. I'm like, we're not going to go out just on crickets, right? But I want to. We can hear it, and it's one of his most beautiful songs from that album, for the Native Americans that he composed. Every song is potent, beautiful. I think it was 1996, 1997 when it came out, maybe earlier, but it's wonderful, wonderful. But before we play this, I'm just going to, with apologies to Robbie and his fellow songwriters, David William Carson and William James Wilson, just to read the lyrics so that you can hear them, and then you'll hear them say them, and then we'll come back and we have another outro. But so he says, this was the way of it. Let the story fires be lighted. Let our circle be strong and full of medicine. Hear me. This is my dream song that I'm singing for you. This is my power song that is taking me to the edge. This is rock medicine, the talking tree, the singing water. Listen, I am dancing underneath you. This was the way of it. It's a river. It's a chant. It's a medicine story. It's what happened long ago. It's a bead in a story belt. It's what has been forgotten. It's the smell of sweetgrass and cedar and prayers lifted to Sky Father. It is a way, a tradition, the way it was always done by the people. It is a feeling of warmth, the sound of voices. Listen, I am dancing underneath you. Here we go.
It is a feeling of warmth, the sound of voices. Listen. dancing underneath you.
And that's the ending of his album, but we have one more finale because we want to end kind of up, although that's so deep. Just to say, this was the way of it, right? Let the story fires be lighted. I've got my High John the Conqueror candle blazing upstairs. We've got Captain Rico, the demon from New Orleans. We've got Yamaya. We've got whatever it is. Again, it's incarnational rock medicine, the talking tree, the singing water, talking to everything, humbled by our rogue species, ill manners at disrupting equilibrium. It's what happened long ago. It's a bead in a story belt. It's what has been forgotten. And just to embrace our journey, we began with Neptune, intelligence of dreams, imagination, vision, where it's really radical. It's all that has been forgotten that must be remembered, right? And that's a whole huge part of that. We wonder, what has each one of us forgotten that we must remember? It's call and response, right? And prayers, right? It's a way, a tradition, the way it was always done by the people who cared for the land, right? And we go, right, necessary miracles. It's such a great, thank you, Robbie. So powerful. And then I thought, feel free if anybody wants to say anything now, that's good, because then I thought we would just rock out one more time to the Indigo Girls, right, to Closer to Fine, because it's so spirited. And I did, as I've mentioned to you four or five times, see the Barbie movie a second time, and it's even better. I want to see the Barbie movie supporting Fannie Willis, supporting whatever. It's like, there might be people who are grumpy about it, but they haven't seen it, right? The Barbie movie. It's such a double, triple trick of liberation. And the Indigo Girls, Closer to Fine, is, I noticed more the second time, and the dogs and I might go a third time when we're at the beach, who knows, because it's so crafted. And that's why I also put Greta Gerwig's chart in our notes, just for like, just what an interesting, powerful women, Fannie Willis, Greta Gerwig, the Barbie mythos, to turn something imprisoning into something liberating, to see all of that energy in its temporary incarnation in different forms, but available now. Woofy women with compassion for the guys and the capacity to decondition tyranny back into the innocent dignity of its child heart. Not nothing. So this song plays a pretty prominent role, and it's so hip that Greta Gerwig picked the Indigo Girls 1987 song about deconditioning. It's what Barbie plays when she goes to the underworld, which is our world, right? And it's also what she plays on her way out. So that's our exit too. So here again is Closer to Fine.
One more thing, Caroline, before we go. I just wanted to tell everybody that Greta Gerwig is from Sacramento. And if you've ever been to Sacramento on a sunny day, you'd swear you were in the underworld.
Okay. That's good.
He took her beginnings in Sacramento and brought this great, great thing to the world, this consciousness raising. All her movies. I'm a big fan. I've seen all of
them. Oh, that's so great. That's so great. Yeah. That's so great. And then I'm getting to everybody here. Elizabeth's ascendant is 23 Leo. Whoa, look at you. It's the new moon and Uranus exactly squaring it. You are the news. Right. Healing, blessing, dream for the earth. That's right. Inspired by the Night Council to try to create some sacred art. Right. And most of it will be invisible. Most of it is the prayers and the words. And remember, with all of our Virgo planets, Mars, on the US Neptune, Mercury right next to it in Virgo, Pallas Athena, little asteroid, you know, part of the grand trine in Earth, and opposite Neptune, linguistic precision guides the vision, right? The spirits love rhyming and they love eloquence. All traditions, all indigenous traditions tell us this. So our language craft, that's really super great. Yes, wonderful, Elizabeth, wonderful, Elizabeth, very wonderful, very wonderful, very wonderful, Lauren. That's right. Don't wait to see it. Go run to see it, Judy. All right, okay. And I don't mind whatever you think about it, but I'm going to see it a third time. What can I say? All right, team, here we go. We get to rock out to the Indigo Girls with Barbie and Redemption for the World. Here we go. Thank you, team.
Something about my life, maybe give me insight between black and white. And the best thing you ever done for me is to help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all, yeah. Well, darkness has a hunger that's insatiable, and lightness has a call that's hard to hear. And I wrap my fear around me like a blanket. I sail my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shores. And I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains, I looked to the children, I drank from the fountains. There's more than to these questions pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. And I went to see the doctor of philosophy with a poster of Rasputin and a beer down to his knee. Never did marry or see a big great movie. He graded my performance. He said he could see through me. I spent 4 years prostrate to the higher mind. Got my paper and I was free. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains, I looked to the children, I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am. With a headache like my head against a board, twice as cloudy as I'd been the night before. And I went in seeking clarity. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains, I looked to the children, I drank from the fountain. We go to the doctor, we go to the mountains, we look to the children, we drink. Less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, closer I am to find, closer I am to find, yeah.
Thank you, team. Woof, woof, woof. Yay. Yay. Wonderful. And somebody will save the chat. Mm-hmm.